Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And it's your last chance to get more fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this limited-time bundle ends June 30th. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early, so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I mean, here's a guy that criticizes everybody, whoever they take. He's got the answers to who you should take and who you shouldn't take. And all of a sudden, he's an expert. He's in our papers 2 days ago telling us who we have to take.
Welcome back to The First Team. I am Joe DeLeon, and with me is my good friend and NFL draft analyst, Ryan Roberts. And today, we are going to be sharing our predictions and thoughts of what the Atlanta Falcons could and should be doing in the 2024 NFL Draft in order for them to be better positioned to win the NFC South in 2024. Now, they went and got Kirk Cousins. They went from being doom and gloom and rebuild to now being the most competitive and dominant roster in the NFC South. Feels kind of crazy how quickly things turn around when you get your quarterback. That does help them of just being able to address best available wherever they're picking, and they don't need to force things. I look at this roster, Ryan, and it's pretty strong. They've got some nice pieces defensively. Their offensive line is better than it gets credit for. We know that Bijan Robinson is, you know, a season away from really breaking out. There's some good receivers. If Kyle Pitts can actually be used effectively and Drake London can get targeted more, this offense could be humming with Kirk Cousins delivering them the football. First positions of need that stand out to you, stand out to me, and then I'm curious what you think.
Yep.
I think receiver is still in play here for them, mm-hmm. and then I think that they need to get an edge rusher. Like that, the edge rusher need is probably the most glaring.
I mean, they may need a couple edge rushers, to be honest. I mean, Joe, I'm looking at like, so that three in a 3-4 alignment, they're two outside pass rushers. So 3-4 outside linebackers listed as starters are Arnold Ebiketie, who we obviously remember very well, and former New York Giant great Lorenzo Carter is the other.
Hey, he was decent for a minute.
Oh, stop. He sucks. He absolutely stinks. Okay. So you have no outside pass rushers. You mentioned it already. You don't really have a dynamic player at wide receiver as like a space oriented player, because they've gambled on a couple short term investments in Rondale Moore and Darnell Mooney to pair with obviously big body Drake London, who's going to play on the outside more than not. So maybe they roll with Darnell Mooney and Rondale Moore and just kind of see what they have. But I do think getting some insurance in that room would be a good opportunity for them. Outside pass rusher, you mentioned. I think on the second level, they could get a little stronger, you know, as far as like right now they're starting Caden Ellis and Nate Landman, at least according to this. And I know they have Troy Anderson in the room as well. But you could possibly strengthen that. The other spot that I would just throw out there that could be a potential is corner. I think is still a very intriguing option, because AJ Terrell is going into the last year of his deal. There's been a lot of conversation of like whether they'll want him back long term or not, try to sign him to a second contract. And then right now their other starting corner is Clark Phillips, who I really like Clark Phillips, But either way, I still think Clark Phillips is kind of a moving chess piece on the back end, could play outside, could play nickel, could move around a little bit. So strengthening that room on outside corner, I think, is another option that could be intriguing for the Atlanta Falcons.
So just for some quick context, their picks that they have in the 2024 NFL draft is pick 8, pick 43 in the second round, pick 74 in the third round, pick 79 in the third round. I always love to see the two third round picks for these teams. Pick 109 in the fourth, pick 143 in the fifth, pick 187 in the sixth, and then pick 197 in the sixth. So they're strongly positioned to pick a lot of guys early.
Yep.
Not like they've got like a crazy grouping here of picks that they're going to be able to, you know, come out with a ton of starters. But I look at pick number 8 and I feel it feels very solidified that they're going edge. Yeah. Randomly, I do a lot of Atlanta radio, and like we've been talking about this for like the past 3 months. Edge, sure. Edge. Well, at one point I was pushing quarterback, but as soon as they signed Kirk Cousins, sure, that's no longer on the table. I think it's worth bringing up for maybe them exploring a guy on day 3 to get a little bit of depth. But to talk about the 8th overall pick, Jared Verse, Dallas Turner. I am of the belief, and I have been pushing in the guest appearances that I've done, that I really think that you should go Jared Verse over Dallas Turner. It sounds like they have an affinity for Dallas Turner and they like him a little bit more based on what the loud murmurs. They can't even call them like whispers or murmurs because they've been pretty loud.
Well, it's not a secret. It's not a secret at all. Yeah.
No. Dallas Turner gives them more upside and more talent, but I think that Jared Verse is a more ready to play guy right now, and that could be the most productive rookie pass rusher out of any of these guys. So I lean Verse, but I don't think that's who they're going to take.
I don't think they're going to take Verse either. And this is very, so we are on the same page. I have a higher grade on Jared Verse. I value what he brings to the table more than Dallas Turner. I think that Dallas, although he's very productive for the Alabama Crimson Tide in 2023, I think he's got a lot of room and improvement, man. Like, we still talk about it. I'm still watching the 2023 film because the 2022 film was very underwhelming to me, was extremely underwhelming. 2023 was better, but still, guy still doesn't know how to use his hands as a pass rusher. He doesn't. And in the NFL, speed is great, but it's going to get washed at times. Like, you're going to need an inside move. You're going to need some hand play. You're going to need a counter off of the initial rush. Like, you're going to need those things. And Dallas Turner doesn't really have those right now. So I really like Jared Verse, the physicality, the explosiveness, speed to power. A lot of great traits to work with. But I think the thing that's going to make Dallas Turner more in play here is that it appears that the base alignment for the Atlanta Falcons is going to be a 3-4. So Jared Verse is not a 3-4 outside linebacker in a traditional sense. Like, he can do it in spurts of a stand-up rusher, but he is a 4-3 hand in the dirt defensive end. Like, that, he is much more of a 4-down defensive end. So if you were looking for a guy that's a 3-4 outside linebacker, and again, Arnold Ebiketie, Lorenzo Carter, D'Angelo Malone, who came out of Western Kentucky a couple years, that's the guys they have on this roster right now. They are much more in the stand-up rusher equation than a true 4-3 defensive end. So I think that's why people are clamoring towards a guy like a Dallas Turner, because obviously he is much more of a 3-4 outside linebacker, and he has the upside, obviously. So if I'm predicting today, I just think it's real, Joe. Like, this time of year, we are thrown with so much smoke screens and so many rumors, and we have to get through what the truth is and get through the rest of the stuff. And I think that for me, though, this is one rumor, one conversation that I do think has a lot of validity. I think Atlanta Falcons are very heavily invested and do like Dallas Turner a lot, and I think that he would be probably the selection if he was there at 8.
BetOnline remains your top spot for all of your live betting action and contests. NFL, college football, UFC, NHL are all in full swing. BetOnline is your number one source for wagering news, odds, trends, and predictions with both desktop and mobile access at any time. Head to BetOnline today and use promo code BELIEVE, that's BLEAV, for 50% off your first deposit. That is a 50% welcome bonus. BetOnline, where the game starts. And Ryan, the more I look at this roster, the more impressed I am with how good it could be. It feels like it was a season away from like really hitting their stride, and obviously a quarterback away, which is like insane to say because of how bad Desmond Ridder was. And I still can't believe that there was any thought that anybody could have believed that that guy was going to be a starting NFL quarterback. I digress. If they get edge figured out, I agree with you. I think that corner is an important position for them to address. Yep. Assuming Terrell comes back, I have always been of the belief that Clark Phillips would be a lot better in the slot. And I think that he would really, really shine in the slot with his physical profile.
Imagine being wrong. So, imagine being wrong like that. Cannot be.
There's no, okay. Well, there are options for them depending on how they want to handle that and how they want to approach that. They could go with somebody like Kalen Carson from Wake Forest in the third round to play in the slot, or you could figure that he could play outside and you could put Clark on the slot.
Sure.
That gives you options. I have always been pushing for on day two, if there's a corner that you need, DJ James is somebody who I feel like has gotten no love, has not gotten really much appreciation. And maybe it's just because he played really freaking lean.
Yeah.
In his last year at Auburn, he's bulked up a tiny bit throughout this process. His testing was phenomenal. He's a fluid athlete. I love watching him move and how easily he redirects when he's covering guys. His LSU film is fantastic. He feels like a third rounder that you take. Mm-hmm. And then in 2 years, it's like, oh my God, we've got two great outside corners. Why didn't anybody more aggressively try to pursue this guy? I think that that definitely is, or, you know, are options for them somewhere on day two. Those are the couple guys that like really stand out to me.
One other guy that I would throw out there on day two is Max Melton out of Rutgers.
I knew you were going to say that.
I remember we were talking about in the preseason, man. And I was like, at the time, I think I told you I had a top 150 grade on him. Right. And I think people are coming around now after the testing and they're being like, wow, that kid's really good. Cause he had like third or fourth round grades from the NFL in the preseason. You know, that was before his final year. So I think that he's a guy. We're talking about that inside-outside versatility that Clark Phillips brings. Like, Max Melton brings the same thing. I think there's a possibility that if you're in a cornerback system at some point in 2024 where it's A.J. Terrell, Clark Phillips, and Max Melton are your top three corners, Max Melton and Clark Phillips can be a little bit interchangeable, right? Like, they can both play outside at times. They can both play inside at times. So you can create – you can dictate matchups at that point, right? Of like, it doesn't matter who you throw into the slot. We're comfortable with either one of these guys following a slot receiver inside with a two-way go. So Max Melton is a really intriguing player that I just would be, I'd be optimistic about on day two somewhere if a team like the Atlanta Falcons took him, because I think that he really brings a lot of alignment versatility that the NFL is more and more valuing as we continue to evolve in the modern passing game.
I mentioned them looking for a backup quarterback. Now, their current listed backup quarterback is Taylor Heinicke, which is a fine option.
He's fine.
And he's a really good backup.
Yep.
I think, though, some sort of injection of youth into the room just to have a little bit of not a long-term plan. You're not drafting this guy thinking, oh my God, he's going to be the starter in 5 years.
Sure.
You would draft somebody like this with some upside, say things go really well, and maybe he takes over for Kirk Cousins. But more importantly, you don't want to be like the LA Rams who go and finally get their guy. Everything's going well. And Stafford gets hurt, and then you're scrambling and you're going signing Carson freaking Wentz because you don't know what you're going to do. And obviously Stafford comes back, but you don't want to be even worse situation where the previous year they were signing anybody that they can find until they got lucky with Baker Mayfield. And that didn't even totally work.
Hey man, they're a big reason Baker Mayfield is paid right now, my friend. Give him the second chance.
My point here is I actually think like in the fourth round, you need to really start talking about Spencer Rattler from South Carolina. Mm-hmm. Or if Michael Pratt's still on the board, I love the idea of Michael Pratt. And I think there's a shot that he's still on the board. I think that it feels like the general media and the NFL aren't as excited about Michael Pratt as we are. And I think he could ultimately, if you take him in as your fourth round pick, that would be an awesome selection.
I think the NFL is good with Michael Pratt in like round four. I think he's a top 150 kid.
I would take him earlier though, is my point. I think that we would maybe take him a little bit earlier than where
people are projecting.
Have you come full circle on Spencer Rattler, Joe? Have you come full circle? It sounds like it a little bit, man. Sounds like it. Because you did not want to even talk about Spencer Rattler.
That was 2 years ago. That was 2 years ago.
It was his past offseason, man. It was his past offseason you wanted to talk about him.
Well, he did improve. I'll give him credit.
Well, that's a fascinating conversation because that's like ultimate. Are you still betting on the upside of Spencer Rattler, or you just want to go with a complete floor guy with a Michael Pratt who does not have nearly as much upside as Spencer Rattler as a pure thrower of the football? But like, he could be he's not comparable necessarily to Matt Schaub, but like he could be a Matt Schaub-esque backup for a while who maybe eventually becomes a starter. Like, who knows, right? But like, either way, he's a low-end starter if he ever becomes a starter. But I like Michael Pratt a lot, man. I think you need to find insurance behind a Kirk Cousins because, again, I mean, he's, for one, coming off of an injury. I mean, one. Right. And then he's, 36 now, right? He's got to be at least 36 years old. So he's an older guy. He's coming off a major injury. Those things tend to creep up as you get a little bit older, right? Like your body's a little bit more likely to break down a little bit. So insurance behind him, I think Taylor Heineke's fine. He's serviceable, but investing in a young quarterback, I think, is a good proposition.
I don't really see any other glaring positions of need. The only one I can think of is adding competition to Troy Andersen, but you drafted Troy Andersen under the projection that he was going to be a little bit of a project.
Right.
And he might not have played great over the past 2 years, but I would be optimistic that he ends up figuring it out. But yeah, maybe we could kind of throw in there that some linebacker depth doesn't hurt them. But other than that, though, I really don't see like any positions for the Falcons that have to be addressed. They're in a good position where they could go best available. They could add depth to their offensive line. They could add depth to their defensive tackles, to their safeties. Like, they're in a really good spot. I believe, and it shouldn't be crazy to say this, you nail that 8th overall pick and you get a contributing rookie, and then in the second round, a contributing rookie in the secondary, that's enough. That is enough to win that division. Your roster is a lot better than the Buccaneers roster. It's a lot better than what you're going to face in the NFC South, especially the Saints. They just need to be better coached and hope that Kirk Cousins is enough to get them over the hump and he stays healthy.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, we kind of glossed over it a little bit, but so Joe, can I give you a interesting scenario that I threw into a mock draft ready? So I had the Atlanta Falcons trading down from 8 to 13 and still getting their pass rusher with the Las Vegas Raiders. And in that fact, I got the number 44 overall selection on day 2 as well. So another extra second round pick. You know who I gave him with 44 to go along with a corner with his other second round pick? Ladd McConkey, baby. Give me some Ladd. Give me some Ladd on day 2. Because again, like, I liked Rondale Moore coming out of Purdue, Joe, but there's been nothing that I've seen in his first couple years that gives me like high hope that this guy's going to be a high volume guy for them. I think he's just kind of a let's see type of project. Darnell Mooney has been very underwhelming the last 2 years for the Chicago Bears. If you wanted just a realistically good secondary pass catcher early on in his career, I think a guy like Aladdin McConkey is still potentially in play if you are able to maybe supplement with another day 2 pick, because that kid can play, man. Like, he can play in 2024 and he can contribute to an offense.
Yeah, if I'm correct, I don't think that there was some massive investment in Darnell Mooney or Rondale Moore. So there is strong potential for one of those picks to also be a receiver.
Yeah.
We'll see what the Falcons do. Again, they're in a really nice spot where they do this right. They nail it. Maybe trading back is the way that you do it and you get some more picks. They could go on to win the NFC South, and they should go on to win the NFC South. And if they do, I don't know what'll happen. Leave a comment below. I don't know where I was going with that. Leave a comment below. Let us know what you think. If maybe we missed a guy that you really want the Falcons to take, drop a comment, hit the like button, hit the subscribe button, then also leave us a 5-star review wherever you're tuning in. We will be back with more. Enjoy the rest of your week.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.